building relationships with each person of the Trinity and how important that was. And we started out by talking about building relationship with the Word of God, or the Logos, through the Word of God, talking about building relationship with Christ through reading the Bible. And then we talked about understanding the deep love of the Father, of God the Father, of the Trinity. And today we're going to talk about building a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, building a relationship with the Holy Spirit, number one, it's not talked about enough. Building a relationship, or giving a talk about building the relationship with the Holy Spirit, is like saying, today we're going to talk about everything the Bible has to say about building a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't narrow it down in one talk. There is so much to know about the Holy Spirit. One of the most one of the least understood persons of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not like this force or this power of God the Father and God the Son. The Holy Spirit is a person of the Trinity. He has a personality. He has characteristics. Of course, he's spirit. He has no form. But often, people think of him just as this, like, force or this energy. The Holy Spirit is not a force. He is not the slave spirit of the Father and the Son, where the Father sends him to do things and he does it and that's it. The Holy Spirit is a person, and he is God. He is one of the three hypostases of the hypostatic union. And most people, I want you to think about how you pray. Most of us, when we pray, we address our prayers by saying, "Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord Jesus Christ." When was the last time you've addressed a prayer to the Holy Spirit? When was the last time you spoke to the Holy Spirit as a person? The Ekbeya, or the church, through her prayers, always tries to teach us how to pray to the Holy Spirit. We pray in the Ekbeya, we say, "O Heavenly King, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, who are in all places and fills all things, the treasury of goodness and the giver of life." We talk to him and we say, "Graciously come, O good one, dwell within us, cleanse us from all defilement and save our souls." Even Christ, before he ascended and went to heaven, he told his disciples, it's in John chapter 16, he says, "It is good that I go away, because then I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and he's going to dwell inside of you." Really, the only way to get to know God the Father and God the Son is through the work of the Holy Spirit. And if you neglect your relationship with the Holy Spirit, you will never fully be able to understand who God the Father is and who God the Son is. In John chapter 14, verses 16 to 17, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." So he's saying, you know him as a person. He's saying, he is going to dwell in you, and he is the one that is going to prompt you to seek God more. He is the one that is going to speak in your heart. He's going to speak in your ears. It is him that is going to move you closer and closer to God every day. It doesn't just happen. It is important that we understand the importance of building a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, we say this in every liturgy: "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." So St. Paul is saying, you need to have an interaction with each member of the Holy Trinity. We say it: the love of God the Father, the grace of his only begotten Son, the gift and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean, to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Other than that you are communing with the Holy Spirit, that you are talking to the Holy Spirit, that you are building a day-to-day relationship with him, and he is supposed to teach you all things. When we say in the Ekbeya of the third hour, it says, the first lines or what? But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will do what? He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So the work of the Holy Spirit is to teach you. His job or his role in your life of salvation or your work of salvation is that he would teach you how to follow God in the right way. And it's important that we understand. Before we build a relationship with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to spend this talk talking to you about who he is and what he does. And then it's up to you to decide whether you want to establish this relationship. Now, many of us receive the Holy Spirit on the day of baptism when we receive the sacrament of Meirun. You don't receive the Holy Spirit when you're baptized. The Bible doesn't teach that you receive the Holy Spirit when you're baptized. The Bible teaches that you receive the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands of the apostles or the bishops or the priests. And Abuna, what he does is when you're baptized, after you're baptized, he lays you on a table and he blows into your mouth and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. And he blows into your mouth directly the Holy Spirit so that you would receive the Holy Spirit and that your whole body would become a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit has so many roles to fulfill the work of your salvation. And I want you to pay attention again because I'm sure many of you have not heard very much about the Holy Spirit. You always hear about people saying, may we be filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't understand what that means. Hopefully, we'll clarify these things. We have to honor his work in being led by him. Otherwise, there's no way of becoming a child of God. Pay attention to this verse, Romans 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Last line. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his, or he is not God's. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't be God's. So when you're trying to ask, many people say, well, what about people that don't know God? What about people who haven't accepted Christ or have not been baptized into the faith? We're not here to judge. We're not here to judge. But the Bible tells us very clearly, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Next verse, Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Having a relationship with the Holy Spirit is not an option. We're not here in this series trying to suggest, hey, why don't you try something new in your spiritual life? Saint Seraphim of Sarov says, the aim of the Christian life, the whole goal of the Christian life is to acquire the grace or the working of the Holy Spirit inside of you. The whole goal of your spiritual life. It's not so that you could say your prayers at night. It's not so that you could read your Bible and be a good person, but it's that you would be filled and acquire the work of the Holy Spirit. It is necessary in order to become a son of God that you would have this relationship with him. There are so many people who spend their lives outside the will of God. What does it mean to be led by the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be led by the Holy Spirit? Pay attention to the verse. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Everyone in this room, consider yourself a son or daughter of God. I would imagine that everyone in here has no problem saying, I am a son or a daughter of God. The condition for you to become a son or a daughter of God is that you are led by the Holy Spirit. I want you to look at the direction of your life and the choices that you make and the plans that you set for yourself. How many times do you include or ask the Holy Spirit that he would lead you to the right path? I think so many of us, we have our plans and we always ask God, Lord, you bless my plans. I've set these plans, 1, 2, and 3, and this is where I want to be in 5 years, and this is where I want to be in 10 years, and so on. Please bless everything that I put before you. that's not how we should pray. The way we should pray is we should tell the Holy Spirit, lead us to what God's plans are, what your plans are for my life. Because I trust that in you being my Father, you being my leader, you are the one that's going to take me into fellowship with the Holy Trinity. That's the whole goal, that we would build this intimate relationship with each member of the Holy Trinity, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit to bring us into fellowship with God. There are so many people who spend their whole lives living outside the will of God because of their lack of desire to be led by Him. A lot of people think that if I'm going to follow God and I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit, He's going to lead me. I'm going to get like cancer, or I'm going to get some type of sickness, or I'm going to have to go to be some missionary in some tribal village in Africa. No, thank you. I'm fine the way I am. Just, I don't want any problems with you. I won't give you any problems. Then let's have that relationship. And I think we have no idea what the goal or what the work of the Holy Spirit is. He wants to lead you to know God's will and to be God's will. When you read the whole Bible, at all times, you see the early church seeking God's will. There was a point even that they were persecuting the apostles, and they were telling them, please stop preaching in the name of Jesus. And St. Peter said, should we obey? We should not obey man rather than God. We should not obey man rather than God. They're saying, we understand it's going to get us killed. We understand we're going to get persecuted. We understand we're going to suffer for your sake, but we have to obey God because we know that is our purpose here. When Saul came in the church and he was killing Christians everywhere, he was scattering them all over. They were leaving Jerusalem, leaving their homes, leaving everything they knew. And it says, and as they were being scattered, they went everywhere preaching the word. These were not people that just said, okay, it's not God's will that I live in Jerusalem. Let me just go live my life quietly somewhere else. No. They were led by the Holy Spirit. They were led to go everywhere, and the Holy Spirit was prompting them inside of them, telling them, everywhere you go, preach. Share the message of God. Your life, how much is being led by God and how much are you leading your own self? You need to be honest. Again, this standard, this is not my standard, these are not my words, and I'm not holding you guys accountable to this. God is the one that is telling us, you want to be a son of God, you have to be led. You have to seek His guiding and His leading. God desires so much of all of us and doesn't just want any one of us just to be, He doesn't want us just to be on the receiving end of forgiveness. That we're just sitting here, God, I did 1, 2, 3, 4 bad. I just need forgiveness. I just need you to wash away all that bad stuff. No. That is the work of Christ. That redemptive salvation, or that work of salvation that He did on the cross. But the work of the Holy Spirit is not just that you would be forgiven, but that you would live powerful lives in Christ. That each and every one of you would have a mission and have a purpose. And there is a mission and there is a purpose for each and every one of you. But you're never going to find it unless you submit to being led by the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit or having a relationship with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that we have more of the Spirit, but that the Spirit has more of us. How much would you be able to say that God has control over your life? It's so often that when young people come, they sit with me in the office, and they're talking and they're saying their sins and they're confessing, and then Abuna is saying, do you know why it is that you're falling in these sins? I'm not saying you're a bad person, but the environment that you're living in is the environment that leads you to this life. And so when I ask people that they need to change their environment, they need to change their group of friends, they need to change whatever it may be, they always say, Abuna, that's too hard. That's too hard. I can't do that. My question to you is, if you cannot do that, is it because you don't want to? And you feel like I love this way of life? Or is it because you don't have the power to do it? If you don't have the power to do it, that's not the problem. But if you don't want to, that's a much bigger problem. That is a sign to say that it is not the Holy Spirit reigning in your life. How dangerous is that to say? That if it's not God reigning, who's reigning? Who's reigning? You think it's you. It's not even you. The Bible tells us, to whom you present yourselves to obey, you are that one's slave to obey. One leading to righteousness and one leading to sin. So if you've presented yourself to leading a life of sin or an ungodly life or an ungodly environment, I have news for you. The Holy Spirit is not reigning in your life. Somebody else has reign over your heart. It's the devil. The devil has made you a slave. The devil has made you a slave, and you've become so accustomed to the life of slavery that when the Holy Spirit is prompting to give you abundant life, we always say we believe in the Holy Spirit, the life giver. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives you life. And I don't mean life by your heart pumping and you being able to breathe in and out of your lungs. I mean real life. Real, rich experience of life. The presence of God, the mighty power of God working through everything that you do in your life. Again, it doesn't mean that we have more of the Spirit, but that the Spirit has more control over you. This is a time where we need to ask ourselves, how much does God have of my heart, of my will, removing things from my life that keeps me unavailable to working with alongside the Holy Spirit in my life? How many of us consider that our relationships with God are one that Spirit is not an instrument in our hands, but that you are an instrument in God's hands? And that's the difference between people with a strong foundation in the spiritual life. Not that I tell the Holy Spirit what to do and he does it. No. It's the Holy Spirit tells you what to do and you do it so that you can experience all the joy that comes in living in God. The Holy Spirit is not your instrument. You are His. And that's why you're filled. You know, when you're given the mayrun, Abuna puts 36 crosses of the holy oil all over your body. And it means that you are sealed or you are owned by the Holy Spirit. That even Christ says in the book of Corinthians, you are not your own, but you have been purchased at a price. How many of you still consider yourself your own? I make my own plans. I make my own decisions. So where is it the Holy Spirit wants to lead us? The Holy Spirit's work is much. And I can't put it all in the presentation. That's what I'm going to say in some points. And then I'm going to go into my presentation. But the work of the Holy Spirit is to make you holy. It's to sanctify you. It's to make you like God. His work is to transform you, that more and more and more He would lead you to become more Christ-like. When you were created in God's image. But what happened? When you sin, the image of Christ or the character or the life of Christ in you became distorted. So the work of the Holy Spirit in your life is to restore God's image in you, that when God looks at you, He sees His image in you. But He can't do it unless you submit. It's also, His work is also to reveal the glory of Jesus Christ. To open your eyes to the great glory of God. You know, so many people, their relationship with Christ becomes so common that, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. And it's this whole, like, casual relationship with God, but yeah, I go to church, I take communion, I come to Light and Life, all these nice things, I do them. But the Holy Spirit's work is not just to get you to tolerate Christ, but it's that you would see Christ's glory. His work every day is to open your eyes that you would see Christ deeper and that you would know him more intimately and you would accept the great work that he did on the cross. So many of us, we know that Jesus Christ died on the cross, right? You come and say, Abuna, I know that. I know that. Nowadays, every time we try to tell Daniel or Timmy anything, they say, Daddy, we know that. Like, they know everything. Like, they're 4 years old and they know everything. And that's exactly what we are. We know everything. You have no idea. If you really understood the amazing glory of Christ, how do you think your life should look? How do you think your life, if we could describe the life of the person that knows the Holy Spirit, that knows the great glory of God, it would be a mighty life. It would be a powerful life. It would be a life that everywhere that person goes, that person is transforming everybody around us. The perfect example that we have is His Holiness Pope Shenouda III. I don't know if you guys saw any of the pictures of the streets of Egypt at his funeral. It looked like Tahrir Square, January 28th, 2011. I mean, it looked like this was exactly what Egypt looked like in the revolution. The streets were packed. Millions of people were waiting just to meet this man who had touched everybody that came on any interview said His Holiness was a father. I don't get it. How is that? That one man, 5,000 miles away, by plane, that each and every one of us could consider such a holy man our father. And that people were weeping by the tens of the thousands, were weeping and crying and could not tolerate because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. God was working in him. People could feel the love of God through him because of the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. Sometimes when you look at the church today, it's as though you can't even discern that the Holy Spirit is among us. When you read the book of Acts, I want to ask you guys, when you guys compare the book of Acts to the church present today, is there something wrong? Do you think all the work that was done by those apostles, casting out demons, raising the dead, sermons converting thousands, do you think none of that was meant for us? We're just supposed to sit here in the pews. It's nice. Abuna, don't be dramatic. Like, we just want our coffee. Give us a nice word and let us go home. That's not what was meant. The Holy Spirit is meant to make you and I like the apostles and the disciples, that we would live in power, that anywhere we go, we would be transforming the lives and the whole world. His Holiness Pope Shenouda used to always say, if I had just one St. Paul in this church, I wouldn't need like 10,000 servants. I wouldn't need 10,000 servants. Because, unfortunately, the way that we are today does not reflect the power of the Holy Spirit that is meant to work in each and every one of you. Yes, each and every one of you is supposed to work mightily. I don't think ever that St. Matthew the tax collector, cheating his own people and deceiving people, trying to make a buck, ripping everybody off, hated by his own friends, his own people. I don't think he ever thought, one day, I'm going to be an apostle in Africa and my prayers are going to raise the dead. In the Synaxarium story, in the story of St. Matthew, the tax collector, he raised the dead man. He converted thousands to the faith. This was normal Joe Schmo guy doing his work, living a sinful life, responded to the call of Christ, and then when he was filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, raising the dead. Do you want that for your own life? Do you wish that you could even raise maybe the death of some of your children? Maybe who have gone astray and who don't know Christ and who haven't experienced the power of God. You can raise that person from the dead by the working of the Holy Spirit in you. You are meant to be glorified with Christ. And if you don't accept, what a shame. What a shame that the Holy Spirit is saying, you want me to use you? Do you want to be used mightily? As soon as you submit, I'll show you. And anybody that has given themselves to the work of God to let the Holy Spirit use them will know very clearly what I'm talking about. In Acts 19, verse 2, St. Paul came to visit some of the people that were discipled, that were baptized. And they were considered disciples. And St. Paul was visiting this church, and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. It says later on in the passage that they were baptized, which, by the way, this is the confirmation of why the sacrament of Mairun is when we receive the Holy Spirit. Because here the people were baptized, hadn't received the Holy Spirit. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, then they received the Holy Spirit. And because the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit, was new at that time, they didn't know what to expect, that God would manifest his presence or his working through his Holy Spirit by them speaking in tongues. But now, over time, because we've seen, we don't need to speak in tongues. But at the time, they were able to, just so that they could see the work of the Holy Spirit. I wonder if I were to ask you today, did you receive the Holy Spirit? I wonder if you would say, we haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. There is no sign of the working of the Holy Spirit in my life. A few weeks ago, we talked about the spiritual rule and how it's important, because we are coming from an environment. We are coming from an environment where our flesh is working against the working of the Spirit. And it is important, if you don't have God's will in you, if your will is not matching the will of God, that you are struggling and that you're working hard, that God's work would pour into your life, that the grace of the Holy Spirit would pour into you, that you would be filled with the energy that comes through the Holy Spirit. This is not a talk. This is an exhortation. You need the Holy Spirit. We cannot handle for Christians today to be living the way that we're living. The Holy Spirit leads us to know his will for our lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the age for our glory. So St. Paul is saying, we speak the wisdom of God, everything that is needed for your glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. For God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God, his work is to reveal God's will for your life. So many people every day are saying, Abuna, how do I know what God's will is for my life? You're not in tune with the Holy Spirit. You're not in tune with the Holy Spirit. He's trying to tell you, but you are not listening. More than anything, God wants to use you. More than you want God, God wants you. And then what does it say? For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. What man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. The more time you spend in the Word of God, and you begin to read and grow, in prayer. I used to watch Amba Bulis many times on missions. I'd have to share a room with His Grace Bishop Paul when we go on missions to random places. And he would always wake up early in the morning. He'd be on his knees, and he would put like his Bible on a pillow. And he was reading his quiet time in the form of prayer, speaking to the Holy Spirit, asking that the Holy Spirit like would reveal to him what God's plan was for us, even in that day. Even to the small details of that day. And that's how people say, God told me this. God revealed this to me. Because they pray to the Holy Spirit, because His work is to reveal the deep things of God for your life. If you're confused, if you have no idea what God wants, it's time to pray to the person of the Holy Spirit and ask Him. His job is to search the deep things of God and to reveal them to you. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. I remember the season that Sherry and I were seeking to move to Africa a few years ago. And Sherry and I were praying, and we really felt like God was calling us to move to Africa and to be consecrated. We wanted to be consecrated for God. So we were praying, and we would read the Bible together, and we used to always say, just so that this we don't make up stories in our own head saying that God is calling us, we're going to continue to pray day after day that God would reveal to us His will. And at the time, Sherry and I were reading the book of 1 Samuel together. And in every day, it kept on talking about, ask Samuel and he'll tell you what to do. The people of Israel would go have to ask Samuel and he would tell you what to do. Every day had something to do with asking Samuel. So we said, we need a Samuel. So we asked Father Bishoy. This is like before I was even a priest. We called Father Bishoy and we said, Abuna, we're praying about this. We want to know what God's call is for us. We want to know what His will is, and we don't want to do anything on our own. And we told him that God led us to a Samuel, and you're going to be our Samuel. So we told him, Abuna, you don't need to fast, but Sherry and I are going to fast and pray for a week. Just pray along with us and guide us. Abuna Bishoy, being the ascetic that he is, insisted on fasting. And imagine if every one of you guys asked, don't ask me to fast for you. I'll be happy to, but don't ask me. Or ask me during the fast. So he fasted, and I remember taking a quiet time. Both of us, Sherry and I, took a quiet time on the Feast of Nowruz. And the gospel of that reading was, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to bring liberty to the captives. And then it goes on saying, there were many widows in Israel, but Elijah went to the widow of Zarephath, which was outside of Israel, or outside of home. And then it says, and Jonah went to go preach to the people of Nineveh, who were not Jews. Abuna Bishoy, the same day, had taken a quiet time and read the gospel of the liturgy. And I remember calling Abuna Bishoy, and he said, how's it coming along? How's your prayers? He said, I can't deny it. I said, what? He said, it is clear that the Holy Spirit wants you to go. He says, I woke up very early in the morning to pray for you. And God was speaking to us in our own way, and God was speaking to Abuna Bishoy, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was revealing these things to us through the Word of God, that we would know and be sure that it was the will of God. At that time, the way it works is that most churches, when they find out that somebody wants to consecrate their life, they say, okay, let's see if he's willing to serve at our church, or we'll give him whatever. So one of the priests called me to the priesthood, and he wanted me to be a priest in Canada right before we moved to Africa. And I said, Abuna, to be honest with you, we're praying and kind of seeking if it's God's will for us to live and serve in Africa. And this priest happened to be serving in Africa like 20 years ago, 30 years ago. So he said, I can't deny. He said, serving in Africa is like serving in heaven. And Abuna's asking me to be a priest with him at a church. And he's saying, I can't deny, I can't ask you this. Because he knew, it was as if the Holy Spirit, every step of the way, was trying to reveal to us His will. And the same thing is for you. It has nothing to do with being a saint. It's about listening. It's about hearing what His will is for your life. The Spirit of God equips us also with inner strength to perform His will. Therefore, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 and 19, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, who gives you wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. It is the Holy Spirit that will enlighten you, illuminate you. Things that you never understood will be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. One time we were asking one of the very, very holy fathers who's very well known, is very famous. We're saying, Abuna, what books do you read? His sermons are like amazing. He was just full. He says, the Holy Spirit teaches me through the Word of God. And he was saying, I just read the Word of God. He says, I don't need words from uninspired men. He says, I read the words that are inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now listen to what he says. That you may know what is the hope of his calling for you. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints for you. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. What type of power that is meant for each and every one of us who believe? What does it say? Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Is there any greater power? Is there any greater power that one could have than the power that was manifested through Christ when he was raised from the dead? That power is meant for you. He wants to give you power to overcome. Not only just to overcome sin, but to do great works in his name. I've seen many godly people through their prayers and through the working of the Holy Spirit were able to do miracles. And these are not just because they're priests or bishops. No, I'm talking about regular people who were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. These words are not preaching. These words are meant for each and every one of us, that we would be living powerfully. What happened to the church today? What's happened to us? Why are we living so weak? Why are we living so empty? We need God to restore that power. We need that power. We can't quench the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Something to know about one of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is very sensitive. He's very sensitive. There are sins that you can commit against the Holy Spirit. The first one is that you can grieve him. I'm going to explain what that means in a minute. And the second one is that you can quench out the fire of the Holy Spirit in your life. In Ephesians 4:30, it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do you know the word grieve when it's used? The word grieve is used when somebody who you love, you're mourning over them. If somebody who you love has died, you're in a state of grieving. You're grieving for the Holy Spirit. You become in a state of mourning. The Holy Spirit becomes grieved. The Holy Spirit becomes grieved when anything that you do is unlike Christ, anything that has nothing to do with the conduct or the working of Christ. When you choose to live your own way, that's how you grieve the Holy Spirit. When you look at the titles of the Holy Spirit and his characteristics, then you will know exactly what it is that would upset the Holy Spirit. Now again, the word grieve is for one that he loves. The Holy Spirit will never abandon you. He will never leave you. But you can grieve him. And you can upset him and hurt him. And it happens by, when you look at his names, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. When you live outside of truth, you don't tell the truth, you don't live by the truth, it is then that you grieve the Holy Spirit and he can't work for it with you. He's called the Spirit of Grace. When you cannot show forgiveness to others, when you can't have compassion on others, when you have sometimes malicious intentions for other people that may have hurt you, it is then that you grieve the Holy Spirit and he can't work in you. And then, don't quench the Holy Spirit. There's two ways you can quench a fire. When the fuel supply is cut off, then of course you can quench a fire. When the Holy Spirit decides that, when you decide that I'm not going to let the Holy Spirit work, the Holy Spirit is prompting things to you, telling you, I want you to do this. Go apologize. Go encourage that person. Go do this or go do that. And you refuse, you're cutting off the supply that the Holy Spirit is giving you. It's when you don't use the means of grace given to you. It's when every day we tell you, read the Word of God, and you say, I don't have time. When you're told to pray, and you don't pray. When you're told to take of the sacraments and partake of the communion, and it's inconvenient. That's how you can quench the Holy Spirit. Or you can hinder the work of the Holy Spirit. You can hinder the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. When you stray away from the will of God and you begin to go up down a path far from the fear of God. I don't fear Him anymore. I don't care. I just want to do what I want to do. It is then that you can quench the work of the Holy Spirit. What do we say the Holy Spirit is? He's the life giver. The Holy Spirit is the life giver. So once you quench the Holy Spirit, you begin to lose life. You become empty. You lose your joy. That joy that comes only from God, people, they wake up in the morning from morning till night. They're depressed, they're down, they're sad. That's because maybe the Holy Spirit has been quenched in your Holy Spirit. Again, I want you to understand, the Holy Spirit does not like leave you for good. But sometimes He pulls away His grace in order that you would understand what life is apart from God. I was recently visiting a young youth who was telling me, Abuna, I don't care. I don't care if God leaves me or not. I said, are you sure? I said, watch what you pray for. He says, what do you mean? I said, living in sin or living away from God is one thing. But as soon as God removes His grace of protection from you by your own request, then you're going to know what it's really like to live an empty life. When God takes away His grace or His hand of protection or His grace of protection around you, good luck. And he began to realize that he has no idea what grace he was already in. That as soon as God takes away His hand, then you're left out into this dangerous world on your own. Good luck. Good luck. The grace of the Holy Spirit does so much for us that we have no idea. Also, the characteristic of the Holy Spirit is that He has a still, small voice. It says in 1 Kings chapter 19, then He said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. He's telling this to Elijah. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was then that Elijah could hear the word or the voice of God. The Holy Spirit speaks quietly. You need to quiet yourself, quiet your life. How many of you can identify something that is distracting your mind and your heart? Think hard. What is distracting me? Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's my iPad or my iPhone or whatever it may be. Or my wife or whatever it may be. Something is distracting you. And it is important that you quiet your life. You need to go back to quiet time. We here at St. Mark's, one of the pillars of our church is that we encourage every person to take quiet time long enough so that you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. It's a still small voice. It's not going to come in earthquakes or fire or wind that breaks open rocks. It's a still small voice. If you don't have quiet in your life, there's no way you have the voice of the Holy Spirit. Every one of us needs quiet. There is virtue in being quiet. In Isaiah 30:15, for thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. The strength of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, comes when you live in quietness. Practice silence every day. Silence is not for monks. Silence is for people that want to discover the Holy Spirit within them. He is alive. God is in you. We don't know how to be quiet. If any of you have ever taken a personal retreat, you'll realize that you go to a place and you sit down for like the first 5 minutes, you're trying to be quiet. And like, you're ready to get into the retreat, and that's not enough. We need, quiet your ears, quiet your thoughts, quiet your heart. St. Anthony once said, he said, quiet your mouth so that your mind would speak. Quiet your mind so that your heart would speak. Quiet your heart so that God would speak. We need to quiet ourselves down. This culture does not allow for quiet. At all times, you can have the access to the whole World Wide Web at your fingertips, 24 hours a day, even when you wake up in the middle of the night because you have to go to the bathroom, you check your Facebook. We are messed up. We have to be careful. We are distracted people. We need quiet to hear the voice of God. Lastly, the Holy Spirit ignites when you ignite. I'm sorry, the Holy Spirit ignites when you unite to the rest of the body. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The Holy Spirit wants to work through you. But not just so that you would be a hero, but that every single person around you would be touched. Imagine God wants to use you for the profit of all. I cannot live without you. I'm the priest of the church. I can't live without you. You're part of the body. There is something that God wants to give you to benefit me and the rest of the church. And there's something that God has given to me that he wants to benefit you with. It is extremely important that you understand the Holy Spirit cannot work outside of unity. I thank God one of the blessings of this church is based on the fact of the unity and the love of the leaders. The unity and the love that we have as leaders is the secret behind the success of this church. That when we come before God and we are one, God says, then I'll bless. I've seen so many churches, divisions, politics, drama, and then what happens? No blessing in the church. The grace of the Holy Spirit just starts to decline. Unity and love. Guard your mouths, your tongues from things that take away from unity. The Holy Spirit can't work in you if you are against unity. The Holy Spirit cannot work in you if you are dividing any unity that might be. Or anything that might even be struggling. If you are that person that breaks it in half, the Holy Spirit can't work with you. You would then be grieving him. The Holy Spirit will be ignited in you when you live in love with those that you are living with. And glory be to God for every man. Let's stand up and pray. In the name of the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. O Holy Spirit, we bow down our heads before you, asking that you would dwell inside us, that you would cleanse us from all of the sins in our lives, all the things that are distracting us from following the Holy Trinity. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to illuminate us, to open up our eyes, that we would begin to understand. We confess, Lord, any sins that have caused, that we have done against you, Holy Spirit, that has caused you to be grieved. If we've rebelled against your work in us, if we've quenched your work in us because we've hindered you. Oh, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would sanctify us and make us holy. We pray, oh, Holy Spirit, that you would speak and reveal to us the will of God for each and every one of us. We pray, oh, Holy Spirit, that you would bring life to us, that we would be filled, each and every one of us, with power, that as we leave this place, we would not just go in the same way, we would not go out the same way we came in, but we would go transformed, as we saw in the apostles and the disciples. Oh, Holy Spirit, we ask you to continue to speak louder and louder, to pour out your grace in our life, that we would experience your work and we would experience the grace and your working in our lives. Speak to us the words of God into our hearts, that we may understand and we may obey. We pray that you would unite us and keep us all as one with love, from the highest person in the church to the youngest child in the church, that all of us would be one body, one spirit, one mind, filled with the Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through the intercessions of the Holy Virgin Mary and the prayers of St. Mark, make us worthy to pray thankfully, our Father who art in heaven. Now the love of God the Father, grace of His only begotten Son, our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, the gift and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Go in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you all.